You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Emergency podcast, sort of. It's been 5 hours, but emergency podcast, the Indiana Pacers have officially hired their new coach. Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Pacers, where we're going to break it all down. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes in the West Indianapolis Community News. Joining me to break down the Indiana Pacers hire of Nate Bjorkgren from the Toronto Raptors to be their new assistant coach. And let's hope this is not like after the draft when we pronounced Alize Johnson's name Elise for a bunch of months. Hopefully it's Bjorkgren. I believe that's correct. Adam Friedman, my co-host. Adam, were you surprised at the hire when it happened?
No, actually, right? This was one of the guys on the list, right? I mean, it was never really floated by anybody with a verified account,
but it was Nick himself.
Yeah, it was verified by a coach who I assume wouldn't just like make up stuff on the spot. So this isn't surprising. I guess he wasn't on that list that who had the most recent like finalist list, but it was such a vague list anyways.
So like late September is when Nurse was on this radio show and he said, yeah, you know, Bjorkgren's we're gonna call him Nate 2.0 for the rest of the show just so we don't screw this up. Nate 2.0 is a finalist for the Pacers job. He said finalist like then, and then it kind of fizzled out, and we kept hearing about them, you know, owning in on this process and cutting down the list. And he was apparently one of the finalists this entire time, and they finally hired him today. So this to me, the first thing that jumped out to me, and maybe this is stupid, but when you look at what KP said at the start, right, we want a guy who can relate to players and who can be modern and who can kind of bring us into what the NBA is now, as opposed to what they've done in the past, which is always just promote within and kind of hire ex players. It's A, it's very un-Pacers like, but B, it's what they said they would do, and it's where the NBA is trending, and I think that is noble and good.
Yeah, I mean that's what they need essentially, right? I mean they needed to not go the safe route, I guess. I mean, I know I'm stealing from Jay Michael there for a second, but like, you know, the Pacers move, or at least the move last time, was hire Nate because you knew what you were getting and you didn't, and it was
the old Pacers right now, like Dan Burke is the head coach or
well, they do this a lot too, right? So even when they lost Carlisle last time, or well, I guess they lost, go back to Bird, right? They went to Isaiah Thomas, who had coached before. I
mean, J.O.B. was the last outside hire, right?
Who?
O'Brien in 2007?
Yeah, I mean, Frank Vogel wasn't really a safe choice. He was his top assistant, but
right.
Yeah.
He was an inside hire.
Yeah, inside hire. So somebody who had some experience with. But yeah, I guess that was the last one, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, McMillan was with them, obviously. Bird.
Vogel was.
Yeah, Carlisle was Bird's assistant before he left for a little while and came back. So yeah. No, he's the first. But, like, it makes sense because this team needs, a completely kind of new take, especially if they're going to maybe bring back the same starting five, which it sounds like a little bit of. And they need to sort of.
Yeah. Well, we can kind of break that stuff down later on. You know, I think
I've been over the world essentially.
Yeah, that's important. And I think so he himself, Bjorkgren's gonna speak, Nate 2.0 is gonna speak to the media tomorrow at 11 a.m. I think we can get more concrete details on some of that kind of stuff in future podcasts. I think today's more about the hire, the process, kind of what it means going forward, stuff like that. But to reference what Adam is saying, one of the things that apparently the Pacers liked about him, and this was reported by Jay Michael prior to his article, is his adaptability, right? He has had a wide, in his time coaching, head coaching in the G League and assistant coaching for the Raptors, which, by the way, I think that blueprint between, you know, Finch and Craig and Bjorkgren, they really wanted that guy who kind of fit the Nurse profile of NBA assistant as well as G League head coaching experience. That mesh makes sense. But anyway, and Caitlin Cooper wrote about this for Indy Cornrows, for those who want to know more than we can say on a podcast, is his adaptability, right? He's good at figuring out new ways to make the roster he has good and better and creative ways. Like Blake Murphy of The Athletic was writing a book about the Raptors, and apparently him and Nurse would just one summer just sat in a basement together and drew up plays. Like that's just what he does is he's good at adapting. And how that relates to Jay Michael is what he said is Bjorkgren believes that he can make the Turner Sabonis combo work in kind of a similar way to Ibaka Gasol. So we'll talk about that stuff in the future, but yeah, it seems like something that KPR's talked about was the modernness. The Raptors last two seasons, 11th and 6th in three-point attempts, if that's your sole measure for modern. I think he fits that bill, right?
Yeah, he does. I mean, that's the thing that we were harping on from the beginning, right, is that they needed somebody, we wouldn't call that the 21st century approach or even the post 2015 approach, right? I mean, guy who could, who was maybe willing to take however many threes. I don't know if he's going to take, like, you know, go, you know, Bucks, Rockets level threes, but some guy who isn't just sort of trying a, let's say, 1990 style or 2000 style of basketball nowadays, and somebody who, you know, especially from Nick Nurse, for example, like, I mean, Nick Nurse was the best coach in the league this year, won coach of the year. I mean, obviously he won the championship, but he was, you know, probably did the most with the least amount of talent of any coach this season, it seems like. And so clearly Nurse kind of understands how to win nowadays. And I think the other point we should talk about too is player development. I mean, the Rockets, have had a lot of, players who weren't highly drafted turn into really good players, from Siakam to Fred Van Fleet, even the development over time of Kyle Lowry and things like that.
Powell, OG. Oh, yeah, you could go on and on with the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, they just have a lot of
who they're trading. I mean, yeah, you go on and on.
I mean, there's a reason that team has been forever. I mean, 11 or 12 deep. Part of that is because they just made some nice trades.
Well, see, I want to leapfrog off of that to another thing I like about him is getting those players in the right situations. That kind of relates back to the adaptability. But this also relates back to other stuff that's been reported about his adaptability, is that they go from a team that is built around Kawhi Leonard, right? They have Kawhi and Danny Green, and they're playing a certain way, and they're really good. They win the championship, obviously. That's part of the appeal here. And then they lose those two key contributors, two starters, and they're still really effing good, right? Like, that sort of pivoting transition of roster turnover, or you need to adapt your play style to be better, is hard. And the Raptors were able to do it. And some of that is their approach, and some of that is their coaching staff and all that stuff. And I think some of the development is baked in here, but being able to improve player skills to the point where you can just on the fly kind of alter pieces in what you're doing and be prepared to just be just as good the next year. I think given that the Pacers roster is kind of in a transition point where, you know, we don't really know what the future of Oladipo is. We talked about the centers a little bit a second ago, but we all kind of see the writing on the wall for the eventual results of that, right? There's a lot that could change in the near future. And I think you can be confident with Bjorkgren. We have to see, right? I'll get to that in a second. But I think you can be confident that he's going to set these guys up in a meaningfully good way for them to do well.
Yeah, I mean, the question I'd have, obviously, we can talk about it a little bit later, but like, how many years he getting on this contract, right?
I don't know that yet.
Right, what's the window he's being given? What is the discussion around, like, because I do agree they're going to have to make, I mean, most likely have to make some adjustment of the roster in the near future and have to change what kind of the way they're playing in some ways. So it just kind of depends how much of a runway he's given. And, you know, they said from the start, right? I mean, I think there were a lot of reports. They wanted a guy who could be a program builder.
Yeah.
And I think they're sort of hoping he can do that for them. You know, he has a lot of experience too, just like I said, playing, like, coaching around the globe. And the thing about that is kind of interesting in a way is that it might help them find some talent in some rough places, right? Or like some diamonds in the rough, maybe the right way to put it, you know, in other parts of the,
right.
The Pacers have not, you know, they've got Goga, obviously, and they went for him, but they don't have this, like, you know, history of, I guess they have Sabonis too, but they just don't, you know, finding that European diamond in the rough is kind of like a really big key in the NBA nowadays, right? If you look at like that, finding that player at 29 who, you know, some random country and ends up becoming, you know, a top 50 player, it can be kind of the difference for a team.
Hey guys, short little break from our Nate Bjorken talk to talk about the lovely people over at Built Bar, because Built Bar is making the best protein bar ever. They have 18 new amazing flavors, and they're even more delicious than their original 12. I've tried them. I love them. What they are is they're protein bars that are 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they're great for the health-conscious person. They're great for losing weight while indulging in a delicious treat, and they're great for muscle building. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber. They're great for a keto diet. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Right, absolutely. So the thing I keep getting asked on Twitter that I want to kind of leapfrog our discussion to is, and you know, there's a lot of signs that he fits the bill of what the Pacers wanted. And I think that is good. And like, given the Pacers roster, it's going to be really hard for us to look back at what he'll, like, when the Nate 2.0 era is over, I think it's going to be hard for anyone to look back and go, that was bad. But I get asked a lot, what do you think of this? Is this good? Is this bad? You know, what should the feeling be? And I like Greg Doyle's headline here. He said, best and worst thing about new Pacers coach, never heard of him, right? So he's an assistant, and he's coached in the G League before, and we can gain or gather some qualities about him from his past. But the answer I have to give these people to the good or bad is, like, besides that he fits the bill of what they wanted, which I guess is good, is I don't know, right? He's never coached the NBA before. I can't tell you if he's going to be a good or bad hire right now. I can't tell you if he's going to meet expectations, how guys are going to respond to what he's saying. So I cannot say good or bad at this point in time, but I think that's kind of a good thing, right? It's not a retread. It's not a guy that we thought wasn't qualified. You know, we just kind of have to see, right?
Yeah, this is the first one of the Nick Nurse assistants to get a job. And so,
yep.
You know, there's always mixed reviews on, you know, top assistants to coaches, right? I mean, Coach Bud was Pop's assistant for a while, and he was good in Atlanta and obviously really good right now. But not, you know, there's been other assistants I can't think of the top of my head, but who don't end up flaming. I mean, Brian Shaw was Phil Jackson's number two forever in LA, and he really was not that great of a coach, right? Never really could kind of put together. So it just kind of depends. And throwback, if Brian Shaw was a Pacer
coach. Other top assistants, like James Borrego is the Spurs top assistant. He's the Hornets coach now. I mean, the Hornets roster sucks. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of unfair to him, but like, has anyone ever thought he's done like an awesome job? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to pick on him. I've said his name a lot in the process, but yeah, you just don't know. And that's, I think you're in agreement with me, right? That's not to say he's going to be bad or good. I don't want to guess. I can't answer that question. I think that's part of the appeal of the hire almost is he just fits what you want. And if it doesn't work, like that's fine, but they stuck to what they thought they needed to do. And I think that's, you know, instead of just going, okay, let's just get D'Antoni, they said, we need these things, and they got these things.
Yeah, and I think they are hoping to have some of the Raptors rub off on them in some way. Right, because, I mean, I think, to be honest, if we were to take two teams in the entire NBA, you know, who fit the Pacers market mold, because they're not a big market. I mean, Toronto is a big market, but not an NBA big market in that sense, right? It's not like a hot commodity city, and they're both franchises who pretty much, I mean, the Raptors have made, what, four conference finals in the last 8 years, something like that, maybe three.
Yeah, more.
A bunch of second rounds. I mean, they make second round almost every year.
Right.
Pretty much after they had that little hump they had to get over for a little while.
Well, they 2.0 has only been there since 2018. Remember that?
Yeah, but they...
But still.
No, but he's been through the system there, which is kind of the important thing. And wasn't he part of their G League affiliate too? Isn't that what the Iowa Energy were? I thought going back then.
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, right. He's been part of this kind of, I guess I would call like Raptors culture-ish, if that makes sense. And
sure. Yeah.
The idea is, can you get that culture to rub off?
I mean, or the Nurse culture even.
Yeah, well, the Nurse culture comes back to Dwayne Casey culture technically.
That's true. Which is Raptors.
But,
can I leapfrog off that and apply it to the Pacers?
Yeah.
So, I'm just calling back to this J. Michael article over and over. Read it in the Star. Part of it apparently is in the bubble, the Pacers could see these Raptors practices, right? If you've seen the pictures from the bubble, there are three practice courts all right next to each other in like a conference hall. It looks hilarious. But they could see the Raptors practice, and it was way shorter than the Pacers practice, but they got a ton done. So what they saw is, okay, how are the Raptors being so efficient? And that what they also saw apparently is – they'd get a lot of more one-on-one time between the head coach or whatever, the coaching staff and the players. So maybe this is old school McMillan stuff. Maybe this is just how the Pacers organization has done it for a while, right? Bird's been there for forever. Walsh has been there for forever. They have some like long-standing structure, but maybe it's some of Nate 1.0, who knows. But they look at the Raptors' practices and they want to copy that culture. They say, okay, they're clearly doing something better than us just from results. Let's start at practice. We can see this, right? It's in the same room as us right now. We can see this. How can we get that? And I think that's part of the appeal too. And as he sells them, according to all these reports on his adaptability, on his coaching past, what he's learned, all that, that's part of it, I think, and is that he can take some of that, and that's some of the appeal with all these assistants, right? We've talked about that with Dan Craig and the Heat, and I can't even remember, Chris Finch, his offensive stuff from the Rockets and the Nuggets. Right. How can you take that DNA and apply it to the Pacers? I think that's kind of what they're doing is, okay, the Casey groundwork and the Nurse buildup is, okay, how can we control C, copy, paste that to the Pacers and make our organization better as a result?
Yeah. And I think
a lot of words, sorry.
No. And I think that the key thing to look at with him is in terms of How does out of bounds timeout plays look like? Does he bring that kind of new kind of call to the Pacers? Right? I mean, the thing that the Pacers have lacked forever is like an offensive creativity, right? And defense, I think they'll bring some of the same principles because I don't think he's going to – I imagine he's going to keep Dan Burke. I don't know why Burke survived, you know, five other coaches. I don't know why he wouldn't survive again.
The reporting is that Dan Burke's gone. So
really, it is?
Yeah, Scott Agnes said that on his podcast.
Oh, he did? I did not realize that.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I would have told you that a long time ago.
Yeah, when did you tell me? When did that break? You didn't tell me that.
It was like a week ago.
Oh, well, it's been a long week for me.
A little over a week ago.
Well, so then the question comes because their defensive culture, do you think it changes at all?
Yeah, well, that's stuff to be determined. And you know, he has to hire his assistants too, right? If Burke is really gone and there's any shakeups to the assistants, right? They would only have Popeye and Bano left, and they're not going to just do two assistants. So he'll hire some guys, and I've kind of heard – I can't say too much here, but like some of the assistants that were involved in the process for head coach could be considered for an assistant coaching spot with the Pacers. That's as vague as I'm allowed to be, but I think that process is still ongoing. He'll hire his assistant soon, but that could be part of the defensive stuff too, is who do they hire there? What kind of team do they come from? What kind of defensive background do they have?
Yeah. Is there any Pacer players who are looking for coaching jobs? I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Can David West or Damian Wilkins or whatever.
Isn't West trying to get back in it? Am I wrong with
that? I don't know. Gary Payton?
No, Hibbert is. Isn't Hibbert trying to get a coaching job?
He already has one. He works for the Sixers.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's right. When did he get hired with us?
They could go from Nate McMillan to a different Sonic and Gary Payton, and maybe that could be your defensive guy.
I don't think Gary Payton's going to work for the Pacers after they fired McMillan the way they did it.
No, I don't think so either.
I think he said some choice words on some podcast somewhere.
I have no idea.
So, I'm pretty sure he did. I'm pretty sure he was pretty pissed about it. They go back. Can we talk about the Sabonis-Turner thing with him?
One more break from our Nate B talk to talk about the great people at Roman, because a healthy life includes a healthy sex life, but if you struggle with erectile dysfunction, you may not feel like your best self. If you want help with ED, Roman connects you with a real U.S.-licensed healthcare professional who can prescribe the medicine you need. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort of your privacy at your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan if medication is appropriate. Roman will ship it to you. Real medicine, free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started, super simple. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn. Complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to talk about. Now there's Roman. Again, just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get 50% off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we can bring this stuff up later, but yeah, we can do it now, I guess. I mean, let's turn to the future, I guess. So like Scott wrote this in his piece about the hires. The first thing he should do after the press conference with me tomorrow, fly to Miami, talk to Vic, right? But I think that the personnel stuff with Vic and with those two centers is super interesting. And honestly, we talked about the good and bad. That's going to be a critical part of how we evaluate his tenure, right?
Yeah.
So... yeah, Turner Sabonis. I think it's kind of silly to compare that to Gasol Ibaka in terms of fit and how well it can go.
No, it's totally different because both of those guys can shoot threes.
Both of them can shoot. Gasol is a great – I mean, I guess Turner's a great defender too, but they can both
– Gasol is not a level defender. Gasol's an all-time – I mean, Gasol's what, one or two-time defensive player of the year? At least top – you know, always in top three or five in that voting.
In the playoffs, he's been a better defender than Turner, right? Yeah. So, yeah, that – I get why you can say I got this to work. I can apply it to these two guys, but that also, you know, I don't see that. But we'll see.
Does that worry you at all? You think that's all just show?
I mean, they had multiple interviews with the guy. I'm sure they really discussed this.
Like they're going to bring back the. No, but I mean them saying, "Oh, we want to make some more from work."
Is it show? I don't. I mean, they both have a lot of time left on their contracts, so I don't necessarily think it's show. No.
It just, I don't know. It seems like it's destined to be mediocre. I don't think it's going to fail. I think it's never going to abject fail. I think. I just think it's destined.
Oh, yeah. They won three of every five games with that this year, right? It can't fail. But
no, I mean,
I agree with you. It's a ceiling limiter.
Yeah. And the playoff success, I think it hurts their ability to succeed in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, I have a list of questions and I probably will only get in one or two, but. For the presser tomorrow, and I think that will be kind of revealing on what he planned. I mean, it's a media session, right? Like, it's not actually what's going to happen, but you know, it'll be interesting to see how he answers some of that stuff. Can I fire off some fun trivia?
Sure.
So he walked on at the University of South Dakota in 1994. He was Chad Buchanan, the Pacers GM's teammate in college.
Nice.
1990s. How cool is that? That's the only trivia I
was. Oh, I was going to say, you want to go through his history. I mean, he was
that's
like
the only one.
He coached like four G League teams.
He coached TJ Warren in the G League. Yeah.
And then he coached this. He was assistant for the Suns for a while. And yes. I assume Warren
him and he's overlapped. Got some connections to Warren. And TJ Warren tweeted and Instagrammed about the hire positively, which is good. Miles Turner as well. That's always a good sign.
Oh, Turner even did that. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to the, what we talked about. Yes. Turner as well.
So they're not going to make any changes now. They're going to have to figure out how to trade Vic and that's it.
I don't think they're going to trade Vic.
I know. I don't. I mean, I think at some point they're going to have to because he's going to say he wants out, but they don't
maybe
want to
during
trade
the season,
him.
But I don't think before the season. So
I mean, let's put it that way. They don't want to make any moves they don't have to. Let's put it that way. Right? Like, unless they're in a corner and forced to.
Yeah. We can talk about that decision on a future show, but yeah, positive reviews from players so far.
So if they bring the whole roster back, let's say they do that, why did they not just bring Nate back for another year?
Because he's gotten swept twice in a row in the playoffs?
Yeah, but you can make a case – he very well made the point made that like he had a healthy roster. Why you know
yeah, that would probably be the case he makes.
That's just interesting, right? Let's say next year because I don't think it's out of the realm to say you know everybody's healthy and they could. I mean, the coach is you know a good coach. They could win 50 games again. I mean, they were that good this year, anyways. The roster's pretty deep. I mean, it's you know got a lot of talent, and that they could win a first round series. I mean, I don't know if they're gonna like you know blow doors off a playoff, but they could win a first round series. Let's say. And like that's a success, but it's like, what if they don't? I mean, they do some things different, but it's on the margins. But really, the success is just because everybody's healthy, right?
I guess, yeah, that's true. Can I more stuff? Devin Booker, after the Raptors won the finals or made the finals, it would appear. Devin Booker tweeted, "Coach Nate York, love to see it." So maybe Devin Booker's coming to Indy, Adam. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Okay. Another thing, apparently, Jorkren has led some huddles and drawn up plays for the Raptors for the last couple of years. Not always, but sometimes. The Nurse let him do that. I think that's good to know. So a lot of stuff to look forward to. And he said in the official Pacers press release, I'm looking forward to working with this great team to achieve our goal as NBA champions. So,
yeah.
Outside of not really knowing what he can do as a coach because this is his first job, the first day seems like a lot to like, right?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I have more questions than I have, you know,
yes.
answers right now, absolutely. But at least is a step in the right direction.
That's what tomorrow will be the start of. And again, the primary media session, yeah, we're gonna hear the same stuff we heard from McMillan, right? Shoot more threes, be more modern, run more, be better, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get that. And there'll be some more nitty-gritty questions like we just said. Trebona stuff will come up. His Depot stuff will come up. Copying the Raptors' DNA stuff will come up. But wrapping that all up and any surprise comments, I think will be important too. And so, yeah. You have anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'm good for now.
Okay, coming up on this show this week, I think, you know, tomorrow we'll probably do a breakdown of his initial presser and stuff like that. Any comments from that? And then I'm going to have Locked On Raptors host Sean Woodley come on and talk about Nate 2.0 and what can be expected of him from his Raptors time. So I think that is a good game plan for us going forward, right?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Emergency pod is here. We've been talking about all month that we thought it would happen. And it finally did today. And a little bit, you know, not a surprise, right? We did a pod on him. We talked about him before. But I don't think anyone really thought he was on the finalist list. And sure enough, Nick Nurse was right. He was. So Nate Bjorkgren, the new Indiana Pacers head coach, has a nice ring to it. And now I can still accidentally call players Nate in the media sessions. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah. You can Nate 2.0. That's the new name.
Nate for 2.0. now.
Until we get rid of the Nate McMillan off our tongue.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this emergency pod. We'll again have more info as this situation develops. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you very soon.